Shout out to Claritev for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. I've been battling allergies for years now. Let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Major economists in housing say that 5 to 6 months of housing inventory is a healthy housing market where you see moderate price appreciation. So at 9 months, that's a buyer's market, meaning that, you know, there's more supply than there is a market to take it off out of the market. And it's going to mean that we're probably going to see some softening in prices. Now, something that also forces the inventory down is people that were trying to sell to get top dollar that really aren't interested in selling, they're going to take that inventory off the market. So I think you're going to see this is a short-term blip. This 9 month supply, I think it may go up from here a little bit short term, but I think 6-12 months from now, we're going to see it back at 4 or 5 months. The people that weren't really willing to sell at the lower prices will take the homes off the market. Those who do need to sell are going to be forced to probably soften their prices, and buyers are going to have to step up and make a higher payment.
What's up, gang? Welcome to The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mrshazadeh. I'm so pumped to have you here with me. Now listen, The Greatness Machine, we're about two things. Number one, people who are living their passions. And number two, those who are creating greatness in the world and doing both of these things despite the odds against them. Each episode, we're going to feature interviews with game changers, and business leaders, you know, telling us their origin stories, what made them tick, what got them to where they are now. Why? So it can help you step into your greatness within your life, your business, and your career. Occasionally, you might hear a few solo episodes from myself, moi as I say, as I leverage my 20 years of entrepreneurship as a CEO and founder to help you grow and level up in your journey to scale your life and your business. So come be a fly on the wall, enjoy the conversation, and I'm stoked to have you here with me.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to this week's episode of The Greatness Machine. This is my solo for the week, and I decided in light of the economic turmoil that's going on out there, we're seeing Bitcoin under 20,000 right now, the markets are down, Dow just breached 30,000, S&P, what's it, around 3,600? I mean, we are just getting our teeth kicked in, and, you know, we've been through this crazy housing boom. Housing is not supposed to double up in a 1 or 2 year period. And we just have seen so much changes going on. A couple of weeks ago, I had a solo, might want to check that out, where I talked about how I don't think housing prices are going to drop and why I didn't think they're going to drop. In light of that, though, we have some new information around the monthly supply of new houses in the U.S. And the St. Louis Fed, if you go to fred.stlouisfed.org, you can check out what's called the MSACSR. And that's a monthly supply of new houses in the United States. So, you know, I saw a video of Patrick Bet-David talking about how inventory is going crazy and how all those Lambos that were not on the market are on the market now. And I started doing, you know, I always do research when I hear some of the sensationalized, you know, talking heads out there talking about what's going on in housing and macroeconomics, just because I'm kind of a macroeconomic geek myself. For those of you that don't know, I've probably been nerding out on the markets for 25 years almost now. And my last business was one of the largest servicers and lenders in the United States that I built with a few of my business partners. So I've managed hundreds of billions of dollars of mortgages and got to nerd out on housing selfishly because I was managing a huge portfolio and wanted to make sure that it didn't blow up on me. Having done that though, I get to, you know, I feel like it's only fair. I could call myself an insider because I do get a lot of inside information through both my network and through my own experience. And so when I hear stuff like, oh, you know, housing prices are going to come in 20-30%, or, oh, housing is going to implode and the bubble is going to implode, I just, you know, call bullshit until I see the facts and I see the numbers. And so this one number stood out to me because I hadn't been watching the inventory. All you've been hearing is, oh, record low inventory. There's not enough inventory. We lost a decade of housing starts with the Great Recession. And all that's true. I'm invested in some single family funds where that's their whole pitch is, hey, listen, no matter what you want to look at short term, midterm and long term, we did not build enough housing and we have a housing shortage, regardless of what the short term looks like. And I think that's something that we can all get comfortable with, which is, look, there was way less housing starts the decade after the Great Recession than we had during the Great Recession. And we don't have enough houses to house the population. So people have to do something. They have to live somewhere. And that's going to throw that macroeconomic supply and demand curve out of whack. So what does that mean for you? Well, if we look at these monthly housing inventory numbers right now, they look a little sketchy. We're at 9 months, 9 months supply. And I'm going to share my screen right now. For those of you that are watching the video, you're going to be able to see my screen. So give me 1 second here while I share my screen. But the reality is when we have 9 months of supply, right? When we look at something, we go, man, that's crazy. There's 9 months of supply. That could be a problem, right? Won't let me share my screen. Anyway, I'll put the link in the show notes, but you could check it out. We're at 9 months supply. Just to put it into consideration, if you look back in like 2009, we were at 12 months supply, right? That was when there was a massive, massive oversupply. This is the highest supply numbers we've seen pretty much in the past decade. But let me just say this. I do not see it as an oversupply because we've built too much housing or there's too much housing. The reason there's been a supply shock, if you will, is because there's been a demand shock in the opposite direction. If you are a home buyer, you've been in the market the past 2 years, you got psychologically comfortable with a 3.5% interest rate or a 4% interest rate, or God forbid, you even got comfortable with a 2.5% interest rate. And so you were getting quotes on payments that were probably lower than what you're paying in rent. Now, all of a sudden, you're going out there. You still qualify for the same for a mortgage, but it's eating up $500,000-$700,000 more of your disposable income because the rate's now 6.75. I saw last week the average mortgage rate in the United States right now is 6.37%. So at 6.37%, as opposed to a 3.5%, which is what was going on the last couple of years here, and even if you look back over the last 10 years, rates were in like the threes and maybe low fours, as high as the fives. And but we're right now at close to a 14-year high in interest rates, right? When you look back, the last time rates were in the sixes was around 2008.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. In the world of successful partnerships, names like Procter & Gamble, Ben & Jerry, and Supply and Demand echo through business history. But when it comes to growing your business, who are the perfect partners? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. We're talking from launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we hit $1 million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Picture this, a time when my business was facing a tough hurdle and I wasn't sure how to break through. But then came the breakthrough moment, a game changer that took my business to the next level. You know, what I absolutely adore about Shopify is its unparalleled ability to adapt and grow with your ambitions. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 75 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Darius, all lowercase. That's D-A-R-I-U-S. Go to shopify.com/Darius now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/Darius. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. Hey there, friends. It's Darius Mashazda here, and I have a little confession to make. You see, I've been battling allergies for years now, and let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Allergies have been my constant companion. They stop me from fully enjoying the little things in life, canceling plans with friends because of sudden allergy attack, to missing out
on an outdoor activity because of the sneezing fits. Allergies have been a real nuisance. Luckily, for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing and a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I've been a Claritin D user for many, many years now, and let me tell you, it's made a world of difference. Since I started using Claritin D, my symptoms have improved dramatically. Now, I can breathe easier, enjoy outdoor activities without worrying about sneezing fits, and truly live my life without being held back by allergies. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter now. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear, use as directed.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
So that's unusual. And this, what I believe we see or seeing going on here is this is a very short-term demand shock that's going to take some normalization. What I mean by that is if I was out there buying a house expecting my payment to be $1,500, and now you're telling me, no, Darius, it's not, or $2,000, call it. It's not $2,000, it's actually $3,200. You know, I'm going to say, screw that. I'm not paying that. I'm not paying $500,000 more. Like, I'll just keep renting because that's a little higher than what I'm paying for in rent right now. But we're going to see something happen over the next 12 months that people I don't think are ready for. And right now there's a gap in favor of the buyer. So it's a buyer's market. And the sellers, by the way, got used to having these higher prices. A house that was selling for, call it, you know, $400,000 pre-COVID is now selling for $600,000. Well, that seller is not going to just list it back at $400,000. They're going to list it at $600,000, even though the real price may be $550,000 or maybe $500,000. So we have a situation right now in microeconomics where the supply and demand curve is out of equilibrium. But as we know in microeconomics, supply and demand always goes back in equilibrium, meaning if demand does not show up, then supply will stay high and price is forced to drop. I don't think we're going to see a ton of that. I think we're going to see a little bit of that. And I said that in my past podcast. I think we might see 10 to 15% price drops. Now, if you're in the ultra luxury market or second homes, stuff where people don't need to buy it, you may see 20, 30% drops. You may see 40, 50% drops. I don't know, depending on the market. I'm not too worried about that. Unless you're trying to sell one of those or buy one of those. But if it's me, it's a buyer's market. I'm going to negotiate. I'm going to wait. I think that rates are going to stay at this level, maybe come in a little bit, but I do think that rates are going to stay at this level at least for the next, 6 to 12 months when we have these inflationary issues. So if we have rates staying at these levels for the next 6 to 12 months, maybe 18 months, what's going to cause these rates to go down, by the way, is a recession. And there's a saying in mortgage and in housing, which is bond traders dance on the grave of the economy. I'll repeat that one more time. Bond traders dance on the grave of the economy, meaning that when or if a recession happens, we will see rates come in. We'll see people, start to, lower rates. The Fed will be forced to lower rates to try to stimulate the economy. We're not there. We're in a new world right now where the Fed's worried about inflation. So, what are they doing? They're raising rates to try to slow down inflation, slow down demand. I've heard people call this demand destruction. But back to our 9-month supply in housing. So, well, Darius, what about the 9-month supply in housing? What if it goes to 12? My answer is there is a disconnect right now psychologically between what a buyer is willing to pay in payment and what a seller is willing to sell in price. Why? because the buyer got used to lower payments they were getting quoted from a year ago, and the seller got used to sales prices that they're being quoted and that they've seen over the past 12 months. So that psychology has to shift back to equilibrium, meaning buyers need to see that, oh man, I guess rates are going to stay up. So if I want to buy, I'm going to need to do something more than likely. The other thing that they're going to start to realize is that rents are going to start to increase. When you have these higher, you've had a lot of real estate deals, by the way, go down in the past few months, or if rates on multifamily are going to go up, they're going to have to raise rates in commensurate. So I think we're going to see rents start to go up. The other reason I think we're going to start to see rents going up, I was talking to a really good friend of mine, Eric Bramlett, here in Austin, and we were talking about the rent moratorium. You had a rent moratorium during COVID, and so rents got held artificially down because the government's basically said, hey, look, people, you don't have to pay rent, you know, if you can't afford it. So you're going to see that come back. The rent moratorium obviously has gone away. People are now going to start raising their rents commensurate with what may have happened if had that not happened. And so if I'm a buyer and my rents are now starting to go up, it will make more sense for me to maybe pay up a little bit if I can afford it to afford that higher mortgage. And the way it works in mortgage land is we don't give people mortgages they don't qualify for. You need to have a max 43% debt to income ratio, meaning no more than your gross 43% of your debt income, of your, excuse me, net income, gross income, can go towards your mortgage debt. And that includes taxes and insurance. They also look at revolving debt, your consumer debt, your car loan, stuff like that. So no more than 43% can go. So even you may not want to pay the higher payment, but the reality is if you qualify for it, your rents are going up, then what we're going to see is that buyers are going to start coming back and they're going to get used to the new norm, which is, hey, 3.5, I missed the boat on 3.5, 4.5, 5.5%, rates are 6. This is the new norm. On the other side of that, as people put their houses on the market, that if people need to sell, they're going to say, man, you know, I really want to sell my house. And like, no one's paying 600 grand. I'm going to lower it to 5, 550, 5. They're going to have to lower it until the demand shows up. And what we're going to see is probably a meeting in the middle where that payment that was 2 grand went to 3 grand, now it's 2,600. Well, the rent went up from 2 grand to 2,300. So the buyer will get off the fence and say, all right, you know, it's not that big of a difference. The seller is going to say, oh, I can't get the 600K I thought I was going to get. I'm going to get the 525 now. And we're going to see that, you know, a 10% drop in some of those markets to commensurate with what a buyer's willing to pay. And at the end of the day, a market is what someone's willing to sell something for and what a buyer's willing to buy it at. And that's where we meet. We make a market. So I think this 9-month surge is really short term. And just so we're clear, you know, major economists in housing say that 5 to 6 months of housing inventory is a healthy housing market where you see moderate price appreciation. So at 9 months, that's a buyer's market, meaning that, you know, there's more supply than there is a market to take it off out of the market. And it's going to mean that we're probably going to see some softening in prices. Now, that's very regional. I think, again, going back to the podcast I did a few weeks ago, I don't see that there's going to be this massive adjustment in prices. People just will not sell their homes. We used to see this in San Francisco when I lived there, when the housing market softened in 08, 09, 10. Yeah, just inventory went down. So that's going to be something that also forces the inventory down is people that were trying to sell to get top dollar that really aren't interested in selling, they're going to take that inventory off the market. So I think you're going to see this is a short-term blip. This 9-month supply, I think it may go up from here a little bit short-term, but I think 6-12 months from now, we're going to see it back at 4 or 5 months. Buyers are going to be willing to, the people that weren't really willing to sell at the lower prices will take the homes off the market. Those who do need to sell are going to be forced to probably soften their prices, and buyers are going to have to step up and make a higher payment. And I truly believe that that is what we're looking at from a macro perspective. So when you start to see some headlines of record inventory, the other thing I want to mention is they'll say housing purchases are down 50% or mortgage applications are down 50%. Let's just get something clear here. They were up 100% during COVID, massively, massively up. We saw that for refinances right now are down 75%. Well, yeah, because they were up 100%, up 200% from normal levels. So, you know, going up 100% and then coming back 100%, you are where you started. So don't believe the hype. You know, look into the numbers a little bit. When I see shit like that, I'm like, this is bullshit. This is clickbait. You know, yes, we do have record high mortgage interest rates in the past decade. And yes, we do have short-term high inventory, which is maybe record high. But I think this is just a knee-jerk reaction to people's psychology. And fundamentals at the end of the day will show up, which is people that can afford to buy, that want to buy, will buy, and people that need to sell will sell. And markets always return to equilibrium, as we learn in microeconomics. Price will go down in some markets, and people that don't want to sell at those lower prices will take their homes off the market. And people that do will, then they will sell at those lower prices if they need to. And the buyers will buy. And if we have upward pressure in rents, which a lot of people are expecting in multifamily, that's going to put pressure on buyers to not be able to compare their lower rents against a mortgage payment. They're going to say, well, shoot, it's not as much savings as I thought it was. So maybe there is an advantage for me to buy. So that is, in a nutshell, what I'm seeing. I'm going to do another solo next week on the truth about inflation, part two. So stay tuned, check that out. And listen, if you like this episode, share it with friends. I really appreciate getting to kind of give my commentary. I read a lot about what's going on in the markets. I'm kind of nerd out on a daily basis. And when I see stuff that I know is misinformation or clickbaity or hypey, you know, my natural reaction at this point is, hey, I want to go and give my perspective because I am armed with a lot of experience in this area and look at this stuff on a daily basis, and the average person may not. So I decided that, you know, kind of given the times we're in, that I'm going to just be spending more time in my solos giving some perspective with the data in mind. I'm not going to just cherry pick the data. So I could have said, oh my God, the housing market screwed. We're at 9 months high. This is a record. We haven't seen levels like this since 2011. You know, back then, like, we all know what that looked like, and you better sell your house or you're screwed. Your house is going to go down 30%. You know, housing bubble about ready to burst. That could be the headline for this podcast if I wanted to be like the other dipshits out there. But I'm an evangelist against dipshit behavior. And for me, it's about knowing the facts and understanding the facts and being a voice of reason with facts armed next to me. So there you go. There are the facts as I see them. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Peace out. We love you.
You are listening to The Greatness Machine, and that's a wrap for today. Listen, if you love what you heard, subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform that you're tuning in on so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. We have tons of great people coming on, and we're stoked to have you here to enjoy it with us. Leave us a review. Tell us what you love most about this particular episode. We love getting the reviews. We love to see what you guys love most. And if this particular episode, you know, made you think of someone who's leveling up in their business and in their life, print screen, share it with them. Leaders are the best givers. And after all, we're all here to support and grow with each other. And in case you want to see some of the fun behind the scenes shots or some of the things that we're doing, I'm actually writing about this in my weekly newsletter. Go to www.therealdarius.com and subscribe to my newsletter. We're talking about fun things like business and life and mindfulness and cryptocurrencies and, gosh, I don't even know, everything and anything, but it's tons of fun stuff I write about. I try to get it out on a weekly basis. You can subscribe at www.therealdarius.com. And with that said, look, thank you guys so much. Appreciate you. I love you. Peace. We're out of here. See you guys on the next one.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.